The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
So the bottom line is this, the Triple Dipper for the day. Three stories you got to know. The storylines we're running with today. Number one is this, the Department of Justice, the actual federal Department of Justice, it apparently does not like dissent. We're going to be talking about that quite a bit today, about the fact that they do not like the idea that you might want to protest at a school board meeting. Yep, and we'll talk about that. Number two, is there going to be an internet police? I mean, this Facebook protester, or not protester, but whistleblower that I talked about on the show the other day, yeah, the shine's off the apple. The more I got to hear about what she was saying and what she's doing, I'm thinking not so much, all right? Internet police, we'll find out. Number three, mask mandates. I told you we'll talk about that with State Representative Andrew Sorrell and go down the line on what's happening across the state of Alabama, and is there any relief in sight if you don't want your kids wearing a mask for 8 hours a day? But you know, let's go back to that first one, though. The Department of Justice not liking dissent. This is a big deal, y'all, because we're dealing with the question of whether or not your constitutional rights are being infringed upon. I've got a friend who has one of those underground electric fences, you know, the kind you put in. You can't see it. There's a wire that's buried in a perimeter around the yard, right? And the dog, his dog, wears a collar that has a little box on it or a receiver, and it shocks the dog if he crosses over the invisible barrier. It's like, you know, having a fence without having a fence. Doesn't take long for the dog to figure it out. Just, you know, they know. It's like, for example, I used to go jogging through the neighborhood near one of those yards. The first time I went down that same route, this big black lab came charging out of the house right towards me, barking up a storm, looking like he was some kind of trained killer. And I'm a dog person, but I thought, sure, this was about to be a bite moment. And then the dog just came to a screeching halt like 3 feet back from the curb. And I noticed it had a little box on its collar. Yep, invisible fence. And after that, I ran by with impunity. Didn't matter how loud the dog barked. The funny thing is that fence, once they learn it's there, it can be a deterrent even if the power is turned off. Because the dog learns where the problem lies, and the dog's behavior is modified by the mere possibility of a shock. And if you're honest, the concept works well on people too. No, I'm not advocating for people to wear shock collars. I can already see some of the emails that I'm going to get now that I've said that. But I'm seriously saying, though, you know, you've all had it. You had one of those moments when you changed what you were going to do, literally changed it because of the possibility, just the mere possibility of negative consequences. We all have. I remember when I was in Baghdad, we had some extremists that we captured in a raid. The intel folks came and interrogated them, determined that there was not enough to send them forward, so we were going to have to release them. But we knew they were dirty. We knew they were potential terrorists. And I remember when the ops sergeant major and I were releasing them near the gate of our FOB. And we both told these two dudes that we'd be watching them. And then we just, almost like we had planned it, but we hadn't, we both pulled out our pocket GPSs and implied that those were mini TVs that we could see satellite images of them whenever we wanted to, and these new two knuckleheads were believing it. Their eyes got huge, and they left looking over their shoulders at us. That was fun. That was a deterrent. That was designed to keep them in mind that we could see what they were doing. Well, where it's not fun, where it's not even legal, is when the government here in the United States takes certain actions with the sole intent of shutting down constitutional freedoms, especially that of speech. Freedom of speech is sacred in this country. There is a reason why it was the First Amendment, the very first one on the list, and the Supreme Court of the United States does not take kindly to attempts by the government to take certain actions that the courts of this land refer to as having a, quote, chilling effect. In essence, the government may not be able to follow through on its proposals, but the mere fact that it threatens to do so can have a chilling effect on citizens speaking out due to the fear of potential consequences. All right, so lawyer Phil here for a minute. Some legal history for us. The Supreme Court developed and explained what we call the chilling effect doctrine in the practice of law in several opinions that came out back during the McCarthy era. They were involving legislation and regulations that was aimed at suspected communists and so-called subversives. One case in 1964 called Bagot v. Bullitt, the court struck down certain loyalty oaths that required Washington State employees to be signed. And the court asserted that, quote, the threat of sanctions can deter almost as potently as the application of the sanctions. Another case in 1965 called Lamont v. Postmaster General. The court struck down a postal regulation then that required individuals who wanted to receive communist literature to have to sign up at the post office to be able to get it. instead of just receiving it in their usual mail. Now, I'm not for communism at all, but I recognize that freedom of assembly, of association, and speech are protected. And although the program in that case included no sanctions against the recipients, the court said it would chill the individuals who wanted the material, but were afraid to make their wishes known to the government. The chilling effect of such government requirements was even made worse by knowing that the director of the FBI at the time, J. Edgar Hoover, he had gathered up dossiers regarding the political beliefs and associations of millions of Americans suspected of quote-unquote un-American views and activities. And that chilling effect doctrine, it really came of age in a Louisiana case right here in the South. A case involving what was called the Louisiana Subversive Activities and Communist Control Law. I mean, that's a law, believe it or not, it was. The state was trying to use it to require civil rights groups to register as communist front organizations. And in a groundbreaking opinion in that case, it was called Dombrowski v. Pfister, 1965, Justice Brennan wrote a piece or opinion that said the court ruled that not only was that Louisiana law unconstitutional, but that the federal courts could enjoin the state of Louisiana from even bringing prosecutions under it. See, the bottom line here is what I'm telling you, is that when the government even intimates that it will take certain actions, even if it's only to promote good order or to create an adequate database or whatever, it's as if you're the dog that wears a shock collar. You don't even know if the power's on, but you can be afraid to try, because unlike the dog, citizens of this nation, though, are protected from such abuse. And sure, there's going to be limitations. I cannot attempt to incite violence. I cannot issue threats of harm. I can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And back when I worked with a security clearance, I couldn't divulge classified information. And certain aspects of society, like the military, for instance, they have restrictions on what they can say politically. But not John and Jane's citizen. Generally speaking, the government has no right, no acceptable legal right, to chill the rights of citizens to voice their opinions. And it's all the more telling when you consider what Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland just did. Merrick Garland, a former judge, nominated by Obama for the Supreme Court of the United States, he issued a memorandum in the last couple of days that indicated he is directing the Department of Justice and the FBI to begin reviewing the concerns of the National Association of School Boards about parents speaking against school board members. No real specifics, just going to start taking steps, looking at the questions raised by the association of possible, quote, domestic terrorism of parents, John and Jane Citizen. He has no authority, has no legal grounds, there's no probable cause to initiate a surveillance state activity. The FBI does not have local jurisdiction over local issues like that. But what if he could just, you know, announce it? And by doing so, chill the further attempts to speak out by average folks who are fed up with liberal social activism in their local schools. Well, that's precisely the kind of McCarthyism the Supreme Court considered when it generated what we now call the chilling effect doctrine. Merrick Garland and his thug tactics and empty threats, they can pound sand. When the day comes that we no longer have the right to speak on behalf of our children's education and welfare, then we have ceased to be a free nation, and we're going to be left to tell our kids about what it used to be like to live in a nation of freedom. So wake up, right side ruffians. We've got this. The Constitution's on our side, and that's a wrap for the right side way. Well, folks, by God, this is a big, big, hairy deal. The more I've thought about it, the more mad I got. Because Merrick Garland knows better. He's not some fly-by-night street attorney. He's not operating with some kind of, you know, cheesy lack of experience in the practice of law. Supposedly, he was nominated for the Supreme Court because of his expertise, and he chose to go down a road that he knows he cannot do. He did it anyway, with the sole intent to chill the rights of free speech of Americans everywhere. Not on my watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.